Welcome back to the Silo Podcast. I have a very special guest on today who's not even really a guest. Gavin is back on the podcast after a year. Last time you saw both of us, we were sitting down on his floor of his new apartment and discussed things in the holiday special. Well, guess what? We're back again at the holiday season with another episode. We have another one coming out as well next week. Check that one out. We'll go into more about podcasting, but this one, we talk about how our lives have changed since the last time you saw both of us, from getting married to where Gavin is at currently. This is a great episode. Can't wait for you to tune in. Yo, welcome back to the Silo Podcast. I'm here with
Gavin.
What? Gavin's back on the pod. We're so glad to have you. I mean, not even we have you. It's us having the podcast because it's us. But
you,
I mean,
Austin,
you haven't been on in a while, so I kind of wanted to catch up with you.
And so, have you said a year?
It's literally been since the holiday special.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was, yeah, it was in the
apartment. That was the end of season three on the floor of your apartment.
And I just moved in too, so that was like a week or two after. Yeah. So
it was.
Yeah. It's almost been a full year.
How the turns have tabled. If I'm being honest.
Yeah, because we were sitting on the floor on those pillows.
Mm-hmm. And now look at us.
Yeah. Man, that was uncomfortable.
Kind of what? We recorded for like an hour 15.
Yeah,
because like
we were getting into a really good conversation. Mm-hmm. And I was like, gosh, my back.
It was, the back pain was so real.
Mm. Ugh. If you or your loved one suffers from back pain.
Bro, and it's all because of Gavin's apartment that caused my back to be gone forever.
Yeah, that bamboo wood, man.
No. So tell me, where have you been in my life this entire time? And why did you only show up in my life 4 years ago?
Good question.
No, but the last time I saw you, I mean, in person, different story. But for Silo, kind of the last hurrah for you was winter capture, but for the most part, even fall capture last year.
Yeah.
Take me through like what's changed. You got married. We got married.
Yeah, you got married.
Not together.
Yeah, we got married.
Mr. and Mrs. Silo, though.
It's the trio. The fandom has become real.
Start with your wedding, man. Like, you got engaged. You on the holiday podcast, you probably talked about getting engaged, possibly.
It was right before or right after.
Because it was December 11th.
Yeah.
December 11th. I remember that day specifically for that reason. But I don't know if we recorded that before or after.
I don't know. We'll have to look back at the archives.
Either way.
But yeah, it would have been right around that time.
Freshly engaged, but now you're freshly married.
I think it was freshly engaged, if I remember. Like it was the excitement or something like that. I don't know. But yeah, it was crazy. I think I moved in the first week of December of a new apartment. First time like outside of parents and living on my own. And then I might have just not enjoyed it as much as I thought I did because the next week I got engaged.
You said, let's get this party started.
Let's go, man. So I got engaged. And then I think it was either we recorded the podcast either before or after that time frame, and then kind of went completely incognito off the air, off all social media platforms, everything in between. And then dove right into wedding planning because we went from getting engaged in December and then our wedding was in September. So it was kind of like, all right, this is it. And it was funny because and during the summer, we were talking about like potentially getting like what marriage would look like. Mm-hmm. And she's like, well, what if we just get married in May? And I was like, sure. And then now looking back at it, we kind of laugh about how like when you put the wedding planning in it all, like if we just went and eloped, it would have been a much different story. But I think it was definitely worth the wait and it was awesome. And so we got married and then right along that time, you also got engaged.
Yeah. And it was like February.
Yeah.
Like mid-February. So like a few months after you.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm just going to copy everything Gavin does. No. So I had a copy and paste wedding.
No, he didn't. It was funny. We joked about it. Like afterwards, we've talked about how like we had the same suit just in different colors in our cart. But we didn't know that. Like you didn't know. I didn't know.
Well, you sent your suit out to like the guys group chat.
Yeah.
Your groomsmen. Yeah. And I'm like, I have this in brown in my cart. I know you already got it, but I'm like, ugh.
It was so funny though.
It looked so good on you.
It looked good on you. It was great. I think our colors really came out. It was awesome. But yeah, and then you got engaged. And then quickly after I got married and then you got married, it was kind of like boom, bang. I feel like those like 6 months, 8 months of wedding planning and everything, really, if we look back on it,
it flew by.
Yeah. Like, it's crazy to think that, I mean, we're a couple of weeks married and almost to the end of 2024.
Yeah.
So,
and around this time we were both like prepping to be engaged, like you specifically.
Yeah.
And I know at the end of 2022 for me, I was like, I guess I'm due for it at some point soon. And I think I was having conversations with you of like when to do it. And I think I was like, oh man, right around like Thanksgiving would be perfect, but that's like really pushing the deadline super close. And I couldn't have done that.
No, and I think it was perfect timing, and then it was it was an awesome engagement, and your wedding, your photographer, who was also your wedding photographer, Justice, she killed it. I mean, it was beautiful.
Julie killed it?
Yeah, Julie killed it.
Shout out to Julie.
Shout out to Justice. I mean, we had some we had some awesome people. But yeah, it was an awesome time, but it flew by. It flew by quickly. And then it's going to be 2024. It's crazy.
Like, yeah, I mean, I think the coolest part was us being like in the community. We knew people and like vendors that we knew kind of in the back of our head. We're kind of locked in.
Yeah, which is really cool. I think pulling from people that you've gotten close to. And then I think also at the same time, like I got questions of like, why don't you have Austin like do this or do that? And why aren't you playing for his? And I was like, I think we both understood subconsciously of like, we want to be fully present and enjoy each other's wedding and not necessarily feel like the weight of like, okay, now I have to do this or I have to do that. And so it
especially being like one best man in each other's weddings, but also like being like a big part of the planning as well.
Agreed. And like, so it was really cool. And I think something that highly recommend, you know, get married, especially to the person that you love and want to live the rest of your life with.
I mean, yours was a true like semi-silo wedding.
And it was, it was something, man. It was something special. I don't want to say like it was something, but it was something special.
It's something you like, you don't think about until you can like be in the moment. And I'm a slow processor. So like it started catching up to me like day of, but like you really appreciate that person even more. Like as soon as you can, I mean, you've been praying and thinking through it like the entire like time you're engaged in and dating, but it hits you. And you're just like, whew. Yeah.
It does.
Couldn't do life without this person.
Exactly. Cause then you look, I think, I don't know about you, but I think something you spoke to about how that like Justice was telling you guys, like after you get married, just kind of like stop and kind of look. And once you said that, it kind of hit, made me think of like wedding planning, like you going through wedding planning and you're in the trenches. I mean, oftentimes when you're in the trenches, there's not much like, oh, like there is, but there's not much of this like, oh, like this is like, this is it. And, you know, and then you get to the wedding part. And as soon as you say, I do, you kiss the bride, they kiss you. And then you like, you look at each other and then you look at all of the people around you. And I think in that moment I was like, yeah, this is like, we just spent the past like blank plus months crying, working through like blood, sweat and tears. And then now I'm, it's hitting me in a way that I don't think it hit me before of like, this is my person. Because it's almost like wedding on trial. Like you got to go through the trenches and then you get out of it and it's incredible. So,
yeah. I mean, I think even like for us, I feel like we have a greater capacity to like plan and stuff.
Yeah.
And for me, I'm like, ah, oh, wedding planning. Yeah. This is like a 3 week, like month venture. Like I know all the decisions I have to make. And then it comes to it and you're like, no, this needs to be like timelined out over like 6 months or whatever. Yeah. And I was so not prepared for the amount of decisions because I think for us, like we're two guys, we don't need a whole bunch, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like we can come to a decision and be like, yeah, this is what we're doing next year for Silo kind of thing.
Yeah.
But when you have to do it with do life with another person that's a little bit different and compliments you well in a, like ways that we are basically the same. Mm. You know, our wives compliment each other in different, like compliment us in different ways than we can to each other.
Amen.
So it's a decision that has to be made from two fronts rather than like two people going in at the same time.
I agree.
I don't know if that made sense, but in my head, that's
it
how
it made sense,
how it came through of like, it was interesting. Cause I just thought, I'm like, man, I can get this done in a month. This is easy. I'm like, that was if I did it by myself, but the point of marriage is not to do it by yourself.
Exactly.
So
and it's,
that's what threw me off guard a little bit.
Man, and I think it something I think I saw the other day of just it's learning not only to serve, but to be served.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes I think it's something I'm realizing it's so easy for me to like serve and serve and serve, but it's so difficult for me to be served.
Mm.
And my wife, she's incredible. Like she serves me incredibly well and like loves and cares for me beyond anything I can imagine. But it's so hard for me to be like accepting of that. And I think it was definitely brought out in wedding planning. Cause I was like, I'm going to care for you. I'm going to love and like, cause I want this to be ideal for not only for me, but for you. Like this is, I want to channel that like inner girl and her like, just like, this is what you want. And she was like, yeah, but like, what about you? And I never thought about it in that way. And like, she's definitely challenged me to be like, how can I be a loving, caring partner that serves you? And so I don't know about you, if that was, if a similar experience for you and Katie of like, I just want to do everything for you. And then she's like, nah, fam, like, that's not how this works. It's serving and to be served.
Right.
So.
I think for me, it was, I'm a man of actually very few opinions when it comes to like all this wedding stuff. So I was like, hey, you can have like all your dreams because this is what you've want and dreamt of and like knew that, you know, there was a lot of non-negotiables on your end. But for me to find my voice in that as well and to realize that she wanted my dreams to come true too, but I had, you know, a few less than her. So it was a really cool experience and exercise and like compromise and stuff too, to make that happen. Specifically, like I knew, and she had no idea. Like I just wanted like Justice to be my photographer. That's all I cared about. Like you,
she killed
you
it,
know,
man.
whatever else you want. Justice needs to be there. Like she can even just be a guest. Cause I just want her to like experience the wedding.
That's cool.
And be a part. And Katie was just like, she's yours, go. Like, boom. Which was awesome. I mean, and there was many instances the same way.
Which just is an incredible thing.
I thought that was so good. Like, I think both of us, you get humbled in wedding planning too, I feel like.
100%. Any ego is going to be shattered soon. Very soon.
But like, now you're 2 months married. I'm almost a month at this point. How's married life been? How's your honeymoon? Like how, what experience the, show me the joys of that so far. Cause we've talked about the wedding planning in the trenches.
Oh man. I think for me, something that I think going into wedding, like planning, but then also going into marriage, some of the biggest things that I would always hear is like, you're going to be in this honeymoon phase and then it's going to go away or you're going to find something soon that you don't like about this person.
There's so many like rumors, like fallacies and just things people tell you.
Of like how awful marriage is going to be. And I'm like, well, just a couple months ago, I was hearing how amazing from those same people. And then now they're telling me that like, you're going to hate your spouse some seasons and they're going to be a different person here and there. And I think there's, not to say that those things aren't true, because to them that might be, but then there's also like, as we get older, we're going to meet different people. But I think to say that like the honeymoon, like that's like going to be completely gone away. I think that's not something that, at least for Jess and I, like it's not something that we want to, you know, like we want to be in this moment and of like, we love each other tremendously. and care for each other tremendously. And yes, it's going to be hard at sometimes because, you know, you live life with another person, and they grow, you challenge each other, and there's some friction there here and there. But in my mind, in her mind, it doesn't necessarily mean that, like, that love and that care for each other needs to go away, you know, mm-hmm. of like, oh, the honeymoon phase, you're blinded by all of this and that. And I think, yeah, true, but in a lifelong journey of relationship and partnership, if those things, those promises that were made true, as in our vows, continue to be transparent and real, I don't think that, like, ideology of like, oh, you are just gonna like despise the person in front of you mm-hmm. in a couple of months, I don't think that is true. I think it's yeah. just like you gotta put in the hard work to can remain in the space of loving that individual and them loving you. And at times that means putting yourself aside to love that individual. And I think for her, for Justin and I, we're like, we've hit some things where we're like, oh, like, I'm just realizing that my form of communication is different than your form of communication.
Yeah.
And that is different from our dating life, from our engagement, and now in our married life. And it has to change. But if we're both willing to engage in that change, it doesn't mean that we love each other any less. And mm-hmm. there's still moments where we'll continue to say, like, we want to remain in that honeymoon phase for our entire lives mm-hmm. of like looking at the individual and realizing, regardless of what we may be like frustrated with or annoyed with or anything like that, that we can be honest with each other and be like, no, we love each other. Like that, mm-hmm. that's in our eyes, something that we've come to learn, and we're only like 2 months in, which is really yeah. cool. And it's been
these
fun.
Moments, one, could be the honeymoon phase, but they're also just like yeah. the most pivotal moments for laying down that foundation. Great. And you can live that honeymoon phase forever if you build the foundation of like, hey, yeah. how are we going to make the honeymoon phase yeah. last forever? And you can say, hey, it's a phase and we're going to grow out of it. And yeah. then you're almost perpetuating the impending doom.
Right.
If you're in constant fear of what's to come and yeah. don't build towards something different than yeah. that, like, how are you going to, you know, you're just going to keep living in the perpetual yeah. thing that people are saying.
Yeah. And I think I want to provide a little bit of a disclaimer. I think when I'm saying like to live a life in the honeymoon phase is to talk about more of the, I think, preconceptions of what honeymoon phase is. But I think for her and I, it's the reality of realizing that like any strong relationship requires growth. Mm-hmm. And so for her and I, we're going to grow. That means by default that we're going to grow out of certain phases and habits and different things that we go through. But that doesn't necessarily mean that we have to, like, you know, be preventing ourselves from enjoying each other. Right. And I think for us, it's like, we're going to grow and we're going to grow together. And we're going to, the honeymoon phase in quotations will remain because we love each other and care for each other. And I think that's true love rather than we're blinding each other by like, oh, we're in the, I think what the world seems as the honeymoon phase of like, you don't see any of these things. You kind of push all of the stuff aside. And I think that's in itself, like, you have to grow out of that. Mm-hmm. But I think for us, it was like, no, we want to remain loving each other in those ways.
Yeah. It's the intentionality
yeah.
that matters, and starting that early yeah. makes all of the difference, I feel like.
How about you?
Yeah, I mean, that's the same thing for me and Katie. Mm-hmm. I feel like we're, if we have disagreements, it's like, hey, well, first of all, we love yeah. you. Like, we love each other.
Yeah.
And that's what comes first beyond all of this. And that it's not something that it's me versus you.
Yeah.
It's an us versus a problem.
Amen.
And working for a solution that yeah. benefits both of us.
Yes.
Because there is a way that we can yeah. both be happy in this situation. And it's interesting because it's conversations that you can't even have until you're married sometimes.
Yeah. yeah.
Where it's like, I am actually really upset about this thing that happened at work or whatever.
Yeah.
And as a man or as a husband, being able to be a listener instead of a fixer is a big thing.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, I'm just really enjoying Katie and finding out how to communicate well to her. And
it's a process. It's a lifelong journey.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, if we both recognize that it's the lifelong thing, there's grace in the moment for those mess ups or for those moments of, you know, either too much or too little being said.
Very true.
And now we're going to rewind it.
There it is. So you did do that. Yeah, there you go.
Back. You asked to give the people what they wanted. And
I'm glad you're the man of the people.
I didn't. I am the man of the people. And I got what I could in Ooh. This little circle.
You know, that's some dance moves from the wedding. You know?
It was from the wedding. I was hanging loose at the wedding. That is for sure. I'm sure you saw from afar.
Yeah.
I have some photos of you and I at the wedding.
Oh, perfect.
For Sweet Caroline. We were pointing at each other.
That's amazing.
I can't wait to show you. Let's rewind it back and discuss kind of what this last year has been like.
Yeah.
The people who have been missing you, and I've been missing me being able to speak properly.
You do speak properly.
But our experience last year has been a difficult one with Silo. Our relationship with Silo has not been as easy as in years prior. And I think to frame it well is to go back to Fall Capture 22.
Yeah.
Because I think leading up to that, we were feeling tired and a little bit burnt out. And then just walk me through kind of what happened after that a little bit.
Yeah. So it's crazy. It's
already been a year.
Since that date. I think Fall Capture was, a climactic experiment, if I should say, an event, I think personally for me, but also for the both of us. I think coming into it, there was already a lot of thoughts, I think, on both of our minds of like, oh snap, like we're hitting kind of this really like good rhythm. But then also at the same time experiencing exhaustion, being very tired, and then right on the cusp of, you know, heading into engagement, married season, all that kind of stuff. And then personally going through finishing like a lot of schooling, and then chuck in, you know, just my health, if anybody kind of listening knows of my health journey. And so I think for both of us, I think we kind of understood what Fall Capture could necessarily entail.
It was, I feel like it was like, looking back on it, at least my feelings were like, we need to make room and space for what's coming next, but also we're in this momentum where we have to keep topping each other or keep topping, sorry, not each other, each event.
Yes.
And it was like, well, that's exhausting in itself, but then how do you find rest in the exhaustion that keeps happening?
Yeah, which is incredibly difficult, I think, especially at our age and the time, and also running a creative community with people, I mean, ultimately 24/7 is exhausting. And so, and all of the episodes prior to that of us talking about rest, like, it's funny, like, we're not only speaking to you guys, but then also to ourselves.
Oh, it's such a therapy.
Yeah, it is. It's a really a double-edged sword. And so I think because of that, there was things that I think I was beginning to realize about myself that I didn't necessarily enjoy or like because of what was going on in Silo. And the things that we were doing were incredible. But the focus and dedication that I knew that the next season would take is, I think, a personal, like, I don't know if I can be not only ready for that, but then also I don't know if I can handle it. And give it the integrity that it actually deserves. But also at the same time, like feeling that God was kind of pulling me into this space that I honestly did not want to go into. And something that I didn't necessarily have words to, I think, until this point, which I'm glad that behind the scenes, like some of the podcasts were like, oh, we should do it this day. And things were kind of all over the place. But I think God was pulling me into a place of hiding that I did not want to go into. Yeah. I think it was a place of complete, just like, I need to be hidden. And I need to work through this process of incredible refinement that is a burning furnace that I do not enjoy. Like, nobody likes to be challenged and and to change spheres. And so I think if we put it in the timeline, it was fall capture, me kind of coming into this moment of reality, and then quickly kind of us getting and ready and planning for our next like couple events, and then we had the winter capture and some other things that we did. And I think us behind the scenes communicating, like, Austin's incredible, guys, but he was like, take as much time as you need to kind of work through this and work through this process. And I think for me, I was like, I feel like I was pulling down what was already being like progressively moving forward. I know you'll combat me on that forever, but I think it was a genuine feeling of like, I am being a weight to the progression which is going on. And it's something that like I've worked through and processed and dealt with, like, what that experience and why I was feeling the way that I was. But in that moment, I was like, because I am stopping, I, for the past 4 years, all that we did together was like, let's move it forward. Let's take breaks together. Yeah, let's like do this.
What was our first year's word? More?
Yeah, or something like that. It was crazy. And, but like, we always did things as a unit, you know, like, we both took a break after that first year. Like, we both decided to do this. And this was one of the first moments where I was like, no, like, you're moving forward and I need to take a step back. And that was like incredibly scary.
Well, I was like, okay, man, like, take as much time as you need. I'm like, I will front the bill for like this next month or whatever. And then I would love to take a break too once once we figure it out. You know, like, once you find your reckoning with yourself and God and the world and blah, 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 and all that stuff, I'm like, ah, I can't wait. Then I'll be able to take a little break in like January or whatever.
And it didn't go as planned. I mean, it ended up being like, I've been completely away from the limelight for a full year, 365 days
plus some,
And Austin has been really like, you've been taking the charge with pretty much everything. Like, I've been completely detached from all social media platforms, everything in between.
That was a hard conversation too that we dealt with, where you're like, No, you can actually handle this. You can actually do everything. I'm like, bro, I don't want to handle it without you. Like, I remember December last year, I feel like was pretty challenging, at least in my head. Like, almost feeling like going through a breakup of like, you basically saying like, you need space kind of thing. And I'm like, obviously, as a friend, like, I wanted you to have all the space in the world, but in the back of my head, and I learned how to communicate that to you later in like the coming weeks after that of like, no, but like, I want to either have you take your break, but then obviously I want you to be a part. Like, I don't want it to be a forever goodbye. So I want you to be in deep rest and completely disconnected for like as long as you can or as much time as you can. But then you complimenting me and hyping me up like you do. I'm like, well, you actually don't need me. I'm like, I don't want to hear that. That is some like relationship manipulation that you're trying to get me to believe in myself. Get out of my head. And I mean, and that was some of the hardest like things to hear from you. And I know we had like long voice memos back and forth all throughout December. And I think that took us to like an early January spot where you're like, hey, I kind of feel better. Let's give it a dive.
And then I think, if I'm being honest, like, I think I was experiencing a sense of FOMO of like, crap, like, this 3-4 year endeavor like is really beginning to take off and has been for a while now. And there's so many awesome, incredible things that are going on and stuff that we've worked towards. And I feel like I was like, oh, snap. Like, I don't want to leave something like this. And I think I was internally battling what necessarily that would kind of look like, I think, on a personal front, but then also knowing the inner workings of what Silo has built to, I think I was like, well, how does this work? Like, where does this look like? But then also, I think at the same time, as your friend, being like, shoot, like, this is the timing that we set forth. And I want to honor him and make sure that he has a break. And I want to make sure that, like, he's not drowning too. And so I think I stepped in with all of these like conflicting voices of like, yeah, you got to do this, got to do that. But then wait, you did say this. And I was like, all right, well, I'm just going to make a decision, rip off the Band-Aid, and we're going to, you know, get in there and see. And that took us to like around January. I think it was like, what, a month or so of being in that space. And then that was when we had Winter Capture, right? We had another event. Was it Mosaic?
Well, it was Mosaic, but yeah. Like we even had like, we got together when you said you wanted to jump back in, like planned out the whole year.
Yeah, yeah, we did.
And
we
I was like, okay, cool. Let's do this thing. And I think that's a good point of like you like tested the waters and you're like, whoo, that is a lot. Or what was your experience there?
I think,
because then we did have the Mosaic and the thing like back to back.
That's true. I think for me, it was recognize like jumping in, like, I don't know. I don't think you truly recognize how much you are fully involved and how much stress, weight, effort, et cetera, until you become fully detached. Mm-hmm. And
what was, sorry. Yeah. I keep tuning in, but like we also texted every day about Silo and like just hanging out and stuff.
Yeah.
So in that time we also took like not a break from texting each other, but because we weren't texting each other about Silo, we actually did see our like friendship.
Oh my
kind
gosh.
Of dip down a little bit. And that was really tough.
Yeah. I think we, if we talk about in that retrospect, like I think I recognize I was like, I was telling Jess this. I was like, I don't like Austin and I are friends and we're very close, but like it's kind of like this, like if you think about it in this way, like after parents like split up, and I don't want to say like that in like a dark way or anything like that, but it's stupid. You think about it, like that happens. The child is left in the middle and all the parents then talk about is that child. And I think for us, we were like, we've only ever talked about Silo. So what does this now look like? And I think it took a little bit of a dip, but I think, and if we're being honest, I feel like it's rebounded in a way that has been so much more beneficial.
It's way beautiful.
Yeah.
Now.
It's way more like I feel 20, if not 30, tenfold, like so many much more closer to you than I think I've ever felt before. And I think now I'm like, no, like we are brothers because we're not friends because of something.
Right.
We're friends because we want to be in that space together.
Right.
Not because of, like, it's like because we not started that we, Silo because of Silo.
Right. And like, it's not that we didn't build a friendship, but we weren't intentional about a friendship outside of Silo.
Yeah.
Like we would have Silo meetings and it would turn into like friends hangout.
Yeah.
But like it was framed in a Silo context that allowed us to then have the friendship. But now it's, let's hang out. And then after us, you know, getting together back for like this last year, I would say it leads us to be like, you're out of Silo at this point, but I, as a friend, I want you to come back on the podcast.
Yeah.
Kind of stuff.
And us growing closer in that, that perspective and like having to find other conversations, you know? Mm-hmm. Because I feel like we were like, oh, all we talked about is Silo. This is easy. We're in the trenches. But
there
now...
There was always four things in the bucket to talk about.
Yeah, we're constantly in conversation. And now it's like, no, rather than it being an excuse to have a conversation, that's actually intentionally talk. And that's been awesome. I think it's been incredible.
That season of down led to a season of like harvest that has just been unreal.
Yeah, man. It's been incredible. And I think that was kind of like that moment where it's like, okay, we're back in it for a little bit. You know, this is cool. And then I think we were both getting excited, but then I think I also was also like recognizing, holy cow, like this is so much. And the weight that has been off of me for the past couple of months, I actually have enjoyed that feeling.
Yeah.
And I think I kind of began to recognize like I need that continual like weight lifted off, especially for what I'm heading into, because marriage and wedding planning, but then you chuck in, I'm finishing my master's degree. And so, you know,
he's like, an insane master's student about to graduate for a double bachelor's in the next month.
Yeah. So I think for me, I was like, I cannot give 100% to everything, and nor do I want to give less than that to the things that actually deserve it.
Yeah.
So I think it was that moment that I was like, all right, like I need to make make a decision and come to that, I don't know, I think reality of like, okay, this is going to look, if this is not just for this year, this could look like for longer. I mean, who knows what the next year or so could look like, but at least for right now, in my mind, I was like, I need to fully break. I need to fully take away from everything.
You were gripping something so hard that you were straining yourself.
Yeah.
And to be fully like off completely.
I had to. Like I had to completely and entirely detach.
Cold turkey, basically. Yeah.
Because I was, even in my like quote unquote break, I was still doing stuff. Like I was still on social media. I was still doing and engaging and interacting, because in an inward, we knew what was going on, but outwardly people still thought like, oh, we're still, you know, I contact Gavin about these things, Austin about these things. And so I think for me, it was like, I need to completely rip the Band-Aid off, get away from everything. And not saying that it was because of Silo or anything like that is bad, or there was any in particular reason. It was poor reason. It was more for like, I need this. Like this is the moment where I need to like completely detach and go into that place of hiding. And
it served you so well. Yeah. And I mean, like just in general, so thankful that like all that happened to get us to where we are now.
Me too. Like, I think it was necessary. And so because of that, like I've been away from everything. Like I'm no longer doing anything on social media. I've kind of detached from anything in general. Like I feel like I've just been a hermit in a cave.
And honestly, I would love for this to be like one of the next podcast episodes of like discussing like the elimination of hurry and stuff that, like, because it has been a really cool transformation.
Yes.
Seeing you being able to like minimize even just like your closet and stuff like that. Like, some really cool stuff that you've learned from the book that you read.
I had, I had to deconstruct my life and I think reconstruct it in a way that has been better. And I think I'm still in that process.
Yeah.
And it's hard, but it's good.
Yeah.
And I think
there's beauty in like the refinement of
it. Oh my gosh. Yeah, man. Everybody needs it. I think everybody needs it for sure. I know I needed
it. But like, just to maybe dispel some rumors too, like it wasn't an infighting between us.
No.
It was you being able to like take space. This is my perspective, and feel free to chime in, but like you needing to take space to find the refinement in your life and find that place of hiding, and me being like, I also like, you were having to let go of like Silo as a whole.
Yeah.
And I need to like let go of you being a crutch to like help go about this. And I think we've both grown, one, you in refinement, and me of like taking the Silo reins.
Which has been incredible. Yeah. Like, I think seeing what you are continuing to do and the, you know, the hope of what could come out of things and the changes and things.
Yeah.
And so,
is there any other like rumors that you want to dispel? Like, I'm just trying to think, like, I feel like the biggest thing whenever there's conflicts or one person leaves a duo or something, like, hey, there wasn't a fight. It was me dealing with a loss of a business partner, if you will, and you with a loss of like finding yourself.
I think, I don't know. I think if, in my mind, it's, I think there is probably some level of like people want to engage and communicate, and I'm all for it. I'm all for that communication aspect. And if people have questions, they're more than welcome to, you know, ask, because but I think that's difficult, especially because I'm like majority of my connections are on social media.
Yeah.
But I think there's always a way, you know. Mm-hmm. I think there's always an opportunity for people to do that, and to engage. And if it's something that is worth that intentionality, I think that's something worth to pursue. But I think, yeah, there has, if we put it in a blanket statement, there's no bad blood in any aspect of this. There mm-hmm. was, it was not because of malfeasance or any bad moves or anything like that. It generally, I think, became to be a point where it's like, okay, this refinement process is going to take a lot longer than a couple months. Mm-hmm. It's and inevitably will affect the flow of what Silo could be if I don't. Mm-hmm. And I think in that reality, hopefully that maybe and crutches out or blankets out any of those thoughts or things. And mm-hmm. I think if you have any questions, like, ask. If you are focused on the predispositions or like assumptions of things, of course our minds will run rampant. Mm-hmm. But I think if you actually ask the individual what's going on, that's when you actually truly learn. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I wanted this episode to also explore what that is, because we haven't had the chance to like actually kind of lay it on the table.
Yeah.
And I want to make sure that we're transparent too, because that's part of the pillars of Silo.
Amen, brother. And transformational and that's community.
Facts. But yeah, I wanted to open up the floor for this. I'm so glad that we honestly process through it, because we do talk about it. Yeah. And I think also, you know, like you said, like people can just assume that you're gone because we fought or whatever. But like, this is a good for the people that actually care, which is, you know, a select group of people that that want to know the narrative and story of Silo. Like, this is part of our story.
Yep.
And it's been really cool. And like you said, there was no malfeasance. Like, we were both best men in each other's weddings. Like, if there was ever a problem, we would have hashed it out either before that or that wouldn't have happened, I feel like.
Yeah,
at least in my head.
I agree.
So, yeah. Anyway, thanks for watching, guys. This has been Why Gavin Has Not Been Around recently, and also stuff about the wedding. Appreciate you guys, and we'll talk to you soon. Peace.
Peace.